Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, ladies and germs, however, wherever, and whenever you may be listening. It's time for another mediocre at best episode of Mainlining Movies. I've got a new headset setup going today, so hopefully that's that good stuff. Hopefully it sounds a little better. It's stationary, so you won't have to hear me fidgeting with it a whole lot, actually. So if this sounds good or if it's a little much, let me know. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nathan. Nathan, say hello. That took forever to get into.
Hayden, I just want to say thank you for that riveting introduction. To say our show is going to be mediocre at best, I think that really makes people want to listen.
No, it makes them want to listen because then they're like, well, let's see how mediocre this really is. And then when it's not, they're like, wow, you guys are really good. And then it boosts our self-esteem.
Well, you know, it's kind of like when I go into a movie, with high expectations, sometimes I'm disappointed. If I go into it with no expectations, sometimes I'm blown away. So exactly. For those of you who listen, who have never listened, hopefully we're continuing to get new listeners. If you go into this episode with the expectation that it's mediocre, maybe you'll be blown away. I don't know. We'll find out.
See that you got to use reverse psychology, and that's how it all works. Like that's what we're going for. Just drinking some Earl Grey tea, Captain Picard's favorite, and quite treacherously, my Star Wars mug. It's got on one side it says the gang is all here, and it's got the scene from Return of the Jedi, I believe, Vader and Palpatine surrounded by the Red Guards and the Stormtroopers. Yeah, it's Return of the Jedi because there's some Scout Troopers on there. And on the opposite side of it, it says, well, that escalated quickly. And it's the scene when he's on the Tantive IV just busting through everything, murdering everybody with the Stormtroopers behind him. So, you know, I'm not cheating on Star Trek if you like them both. Well, that just sound, don't get any ideas. Don't use that as an excuse if you're a horrible human being cheating on your significant other. Don't, that's not, anyway. So we got some monster movies to talk about. And I believe we debated on how exactly to do monster films. You guys heard that back in episode 2, I believe. And we had to, monster films, we really had to break it down. So do you want to talk about how we really came about breaking down the monster films and what it took to get us here, because it took some weeks.
It did take some weeks. So basically, originally episode 2, we were going to talk about monster films, and we kind of had a little disagreement, friendly disagreement. I didn't beat him up too bad. we had a little disagreement on what we should do as monster films, and we had talked about trying to make monster films like one genre, but it's really hard when there are different types of monsters to say that, to try to compare, you know, a vampire movie with an alien movie, or, you know, you just really can't do it. I think they're different kinds of movies, and to say that there's, you know, one great monster movie, one favorite monster movie, it's really hard when you're throwing these, you know, these all types of monsters together. So we decided that the only fair way to do it was to take the subgenre of monster films and break that down into, I think we decided we're going to do 3, maybe 4 parts.
Yeah, so it's going to be 4 parts.
The different types,
and we're not leaving out monster, and we're not leaving out monster in general. So monster is still the subcategory of the horror genre that we're going to get to, but to really get to that, you have to go over all the subcategories of the monster films. So we're going to have 3 subcategories and then 1 overall like monster subcategory, if that makes any sense.
I understood it. I don't know if anybody else did. I don't know if that counts.
we're counting. So we're counting monster films as their own subgenre. And for example, aliens, vampires, werewolves are a sub-sub of horror because it's a subgenre of a subgenre, that being the monster film. So we're going to dedicate episodes to each of those sub-subs. And we're going to have, hey, like, this is the werewolf monster film. This is the, vampire monster film. Here is the alien monster film. Now here's the regular monster film. For example, like Chud is just a monster film. He's not alien, he's not werewolf, he's not a vampire. He's just a monster. So that's how we're kind of we had to go about this because there's just so many movies in each category. And we're not doing the family friendly like alien films. Like, we're not going to throw in stuff like that into this horror genre. So
Right.
we'll get
So,
to those a different
yeah.
day.
So, alien films, there's, there's some ones that are, considered horror, and then we have more of the sci-fi aliens, which we did talk about doing, just having aliens be its own thing, but I think that in order to be fair to, each genre, as far as like horror and sci-fi, and maybe even comedy. You got movies like Paul,
Paul,
where it's an alien movie, but it's a comedy. So I think in order to be fair to each genre, we needed to break it down and say, no, this is an alien horror movie or horror alien, however you want to say it. And break it down that way, and then we can go later on down the road and say, 'cause like we might talk about films like Independence Day, which is a great alien movie, but it's not a horror movie. So until we get through the subgenre of horror or the genre of horror, we'll break it down later on, maybe when we get to sci-fi films or, like I said, even comedy films. Yeah, that's how we're
Yeah,
doing
you
it.
wanna. All right, yeah, exactly. So you wanna go ahead and kick us off and let us talk about, talk about like what we're gonna be talking about today,
So,
tonight.
yeah, sure. So today we're gonna talk about werewolves. We decided to do werewolves first. A little fun fact, the movie that's on record as far as being the first werewolf film, it's from 1913. It's just called The Werewolf. It was directed by Henry McRae. Honestly, I've never seen the movie. I'm pretty sure it's a silent film though, based on what I've read about it. But there's definitely been a lot of transformation. Obviously, for any genre of film, there's transformation from the first film that was made to now.
There's an evolution.
Exactly. In terms of not only in terms of acting, not there's not great actors now, but there was a difference back in, the 20s, 30s, 40s when movies really started being a thing where you didn't have all the special effects. So you had to make up for it with great acting. You didn't get to act beside a, fake car turned into a robot like in Transformers, in 1930. It just wasn't possible. So there's certainly an element of, like you said, evolution from the original films to today. And it's kind of fun to watch if you go through and watch some of the early, especially horror films. to watch the transformation of how monsters have become. You know, so like we talked last week about zombies, and how the zombies in Night of the Living Dead were very human like, other than really just being undead, but they had all their same motor skills and stuff like that. And, you know, now they're mindless flesh-eating creatures. And it's kind of the same for werewolves, where we see in the early days, it really was just a wolf man. Not quite as much monster as it is in today's world. But so we're going to talk about werewolves. Exciting stuff. Very exciting stuff. I hope you're excited, Hayden. I feel excited. I don't know about you.
You know, it's a little late for us here on the East Coast time. So I'm a little tired, but I believe we've both been up for a while. So, you know, we got to get some of that tea action going soon.
The throat. Right there with you.
And we'll get into this. We'll just get right in because I'm always excited to bring people a piece of what we believe is the best and our favorites, just so they can share us and share us. Yeah, share us with your friends, share us with your family, share us with your dog, share us with your cat, share us with your neighbor, share us with your neighbor's plants. I don't care. Share us with the old lady that's checking you out at the grocery store, and share it with the person that is ringing you both up. You know what I mean. The old lady's checking you out, so you need to share this with
her. Just,
and then the young man that's, you know, scanning your groceries, tell him too.
Just do us a favor and don't not share it. Right? Did I say that right?
Yeah. Don't not. It's a double negative. So, you know, do not share it. Like, just share it. I don't know how clear we can be. I don't understand. Like, you got to let me know how clear I am to make myself to you. Like, I don't understand. Like, share it. Tell everybody. And if you're not telling people, if you're just sitting there gigging all along, like, you guys are good, and then you message us or you tell us, like, hey, that was good stuff. I don't care what you think. If you're not telling
people,
tell me what you think about it and say, hey, I told this many people. And then that's when I'll be like, you know what? You rock, and I'm going to give you a special little shout-out. So shout-out to all my pears out there, as what's his name? What was it? Rick Ross once said. So, yeah, that was too much of a side tangent. We're already 13 minutes into this, and we haven't even talked about today's topic. So, Nathan, why don't you just dive right in?
For all of our listeners out there, your homework assignment is to tell five people about this podcast. We have no way of grading it. We're trusting you. All right. We're trusting that you'll each tell five people about this podcast. So we need to have at least five new listeners next week. Cause I think there's one person that listens to the show. So if they tell five people, that would give us six, right? Anyway.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Math. So I'm going to go ahead and start with what I think is, well, what I know is my favorite werewolf movie. I think a very big argument could be made for this being the greatest werewolf movie. Although I do, since our goal every week is to have two movies, I do have a werewolf movie that we'll talk about later that I think I wrote it down probably because it sets the tone, kind of like I did last week with Night of the Living Dead. But so my favorite werewolf movie is a little movie called Silver Bullet.
you and my girlfriend both.
Hayden already knew which movie was going to be my favorite. Sometimes we do surprise each other, and we wait till we're recording the episode before we reveal which movie is which. Like last week, he had no idea I was going to talk about Resident Evil being my favorite. So
that was a surprise.
We do have some secrets, even though we work together and we do the show together. We gotta keep it interesting, so it makes it sound more authentic when we reveal our picks. But he did know that I was going to pick Silver Bullet because, well, when it comes to horror movies, it's one of the top ones I talk about. Love it. Anyway, it's Silver Bullet, 1985, starring Corey Haim, and Corey and Corey fame. Anyway.
He's so much
Corey fame. 1980s, Corey and Corey. For those of you who don't know, for those of you who are not from the 80s, just research it. I can't even tell you. Just watch License to Drive and you'll understand why Corey and Corey is such a big deal. Anyway, but the movie also...
Can we just agree that Haim was better than Feldman?
I absolutely think Haim was better than Feldman. See, every week we come up with something that we need to create a podcast episode for. So here...
Haim versus Feldman.
Here in a few weeks, we should. Haim versus Feldman. The Rumble in the Jungle.
Haim versus Feldman 2, Electric Boogaloo. That's the second one. That's our second one.
Anyway, this movie was directed by Daniel Attias. I don't know how you exactly pronounce his name. It was based on a short story written by Stephen King called Cycle of the Werewolf. Now, to be honest with you, I've never read the book. But I've seen the movie like 100 times. Great movie. To give you a little premise of the movie, and this is probably the greatest thing about the movie. So Corey Haim on a motorized wheelchair. Yes, he's paralyzed from the waist down in the movie, which in real life would make getting away from werewolves kind of hard, being as they have four legs and you have none. Anyway, that was maybe uncalled for, but I apologize if any of our listeners out there are in a wheelchair. I mean, no disrespect, I promise. Anyway, I'm going to get canceled.
I think
I'm
going to
get canceled, right? Basically, there's Corey Haim, his small town. It's around Halloween time. There's full moon, and people start going missing. And, Corey Haim's character is the first one that kind of spots the werewolf. Yeah, things just kind of escalate from there. I would say that probably the scariest scene in the movie, and later on when we go back to our countdown of scariest movie scenes, this scene will be up there. I don't remember what number we had it at, but it will be up there. It's possible that it's next week. It may be maybe the following episode. But anyway, the scariest scene, without a doubt, is the scene on the bridge with what most people call it, the fireworks scene. So Gary Busey, he's giving him, he's the fun uncle. He's giving him some fireworks. Haim sneaks out at night, and he's on this bridge trying to light fireworks, and through the trees you see that something is watching this little boy, and he ends up seeing the werewolf. The werewolf runs onto the bridge, kind of running at him, and his only choice is to to shoot him with the firework, and he shoots him in the eye. Now I'm not going to give it away for anybody who hasn't seen the movie, but nobody knows who the werewolf is, obviously, even the movie watchers, until after this scene, when the person is revealed with a patch over their eye. And the first time you see this movie is kind of a shock. Some people might have an idea, but it is kind of a shock when you find out who the werewolf is. Now, unlike most werewolf movies where there's a big transformation scene, there's really not one in this movie. There is a de-transformation scene when they possibly maybe get the werewolf, and he goes back to human form, which is kind of different. You just kind of always see the werewolf in his monster form. Yeah, I think that it's just a fun movie. Like I say, Corey Haim, motorized wheelchair, couldn't get any better. It's your typical 1980s movie, even though the movie's supposed to take place in 1976. But it's your typical 80s movie. You got a drunk Gary Busey, which I believe he's just playing himself.
Yeah.
Gary Busey's great. Right,
No disrespect to
absolutely.
him, but yeah, he's playing himself.
So, like, I was talking with somebody earlier about Christopher Walken and how Christopher Walken basically plays the same character in every movie, which I think he's just playing himself. But I think Gary Busey's the same way. He's just, I think Gary Busey really would be the fun uncle. You kind of laugh at it, family reunions when he gets too drunk. Anyway, but that's my pick for favorite werewolf movie. Have you seen the movie Hayden? Tell me you've seen it.
I have not. I hear
What?
my girlfriend talk. I do remember now. I do remember a scene from it. I just happened to see it in passing as I walked through the living room while someone in my family was watching it. Cannot remember who. It was the scene where he's in his little wheelchair and he goes flying off a cliff. That's what I remember from the movie, was that particular scene there.
So sad. So sad that you've never seen this movie. I own it. If you ever want to borrow it, I highly recommend, if you like werewolf movies, again, it's kind of cheesy, but it's an 80s movie. But there's definitely some legitimately scary scenes in there. I think the fireworks scene the scariest. Although there's a scene where the town folk are hunting the werewolf. They don't know it's a werewolf yet, but they go out in the woods and hunt something, and the werewolf attacks. It's a pretty creepy scene as well. Yeah, just I'll let you borrow it. You need to see the movie so you know what I'm talking about. You'll know and understand why I talk about the movie all the time.
Okay, I will look into that. I'll make sure I watch it. I know my girlfriend's got it, so maybe if I go over there and watch it before you decide it's time to let me borrow it, what we can discuss it further. We can elaborate on it. We could do like a movie battle, like what's better, this or this,
Yeah,
and that'd be wonderful.
sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So, you want to go ahead and give your
Ideas.
favorite werewolf movie?
Yeah, absolutely. So, this werewolf movie of mine is very, very, very obscure, to say the least. And by obscure, I mean not a whole lot of people have probably heard of it. It's actually a Canadian film. And it is a little movie that goes by the name of Ginger Snaps. Have you ever
I
seen this
have.
film?
I have.
You
Yes.
have. Okay. Good. Good, good, good. So you know as well as I do that it was made on a very, very small budget of $5 million. That seems like a lot, but when you take into effect that a movie from the 80s, like let's just say Silver Bullet, was probably made on a couple $100 million budget, this movie was made on absolutely nothing. And that probably all went towards like equipment and the catering and some payment for the actors and actresses. But anyhow, to give people a nice little synopsis of this film, it's a little Canadian film. It follows Catherine Isabelle as Ginger and Emily Perkins as Bridget, and they're like these two outcast sisters in these mindless suburbs of a little place called Bailey Downs. I'm not sure if that's fictional or not. I'm not from Canada. I didn't fact check that, so I don't know if that's a real place or not. If it is, that just makes the movie even scarier because it's like, hey, look, this is actually grounded in reality, and we're choosing a nice little suburb with an actual name in Canada. So, you know, sorry to all the Canadian listeners out there that we probably have. But so you kind of see why they're outcasts, and like you get that feeling that they definitely are. Until one night when Ginger has her first period, I think, which she looks a little, forgive me for being assumptuous, but she looks a little too old to be having her first period, if that makes any sense. But she has her first period, and out of nowhere, she gets attacked by a mysterious creature. And she is, to s put it lightly, she's beat to crap. Like, she's in a bad place when she gets just mauled by this creature. And out of nowhere, the next day, those wounds are completely fine. They're completely healed. And that's what really kicks off our film of her being this werewolf and transforming into this werewolf. It's a really, really strange way of saying that it's a coming of age film, and basically how girls might feel when they do get their first period. And it's also, this movie was written by a woman. It was directed by Jon Fawcett, but it was written by a woman. And I believe it was to convey, like, hey, this is sometimes how girls feel when they're on their periods. They just feel like an absolute monster and yada, yada, yada. I don't know. I'm not a female, so I'm not going to speak for that. But if that's how you feel, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm sorry that you actually probably like crave blood and want to kill us or something. But I feel like it's also a nice little touch on like what people think, like thought, sorry, back in like the olden days of the 16, 17, 1800s when they're like, ah, banish her to the woods. It's that time of the month or something silly like that. I don't know what they thought. Again, I'm just assuming. But anyhow, we're going to quickly just move to the scariest scene in the film because does it have a genuinely scary moment? My goodness. The scariest scene in the film is the pantry scene. It comes near the end of the film. It's during what, the last two,
Yeah,
three
it
minutes of
sounds
the
about
film?
right.
So, to put this in perspective, Bridget is in the pantry of the family home that her and Ginger reside in, and I believe it's Bridget's boyfriend that comes over. I can't, his name is spacing me. And Ginger is all werewolfed out after a really cool transformation scene. So I'm touching on that too. Like her transformation scene's pretty cool. You could definitely tell it's a little low budget, but it is a pretty cool transformation. It's like the first, like you see her as the werewolf a couple times or like here and there, maybe not like a super good look. But the transformation scenes, like, you get it all. It's pretty wicked. But he comes over because of this, and he's just trying to check on them, yada yada yada. Long story short, they end up in the pantry, and he figures out a way to kind of like get her to calm down, to go revert back to being human so they can get her help. And he tells Bridget, as they're literally in this itty bitty pantry that Nathan and I could not fit in together for sure, but someone, I mean, they really squeezed in there, and it's just so terrifying because the scene is so darkly lit, and you can hear Ginger outside in her werewolf form stomping around, smashing into everything, out for blood. And he's heating up something with a spoon and a knife. You know, looks like he's about to do some hardcore drugs, and he's got a little syringe to, you know, scoop it up in. And I believe this is what he's supposed to be using to make her like human again, to just get her to calm the heck down. And he tells Bridget, like, I'm going out there. I believe they share a quick little kiss. He goes out. He doesn't even get the door open before he's snatched out. And he is up against the door. It's shaking and slamming violently. As you know, she's tearing him to pieces. There's flashes of this werewolf Ginger just completely like ripping him apart. And it scared me so bad as a kid seeing this film, because I'm just like, oh, that's actually happening right now. Like, this is supposed to like have a happy ending. This is supposed to be good. And then what makes it worse is Bridget decides, all right, well, there's all this blood on the ground. I need to show Bridget, sorry, I need to show Ginger I'm no harm to her. I'm not going to try to hurt her like she probably, her werewolf form maybe thought that he was doing. And so she slowly opens up the door, sees his dead body, tries not to freak out, and it's pretty badly mauled too. And she takes a little hand cup of his blood and starts like sipping it, like right there, just to show Ginger that she's not a threat to her. And then I believe right as the movie cuts, she gets attacked, and that's how it ends. It's Did not mean to spoil that ending, but you know, you're listening to a podcast about movies that we're going to talk about, so as you, it's your own fault. It's a really good movie. I highly recommend it. It's probably one of the only werewolf movies I can continually watch, at least once a year. You know, I visit it at least once a year around Halloween, of course, just because it's so good. I love it so much. Don't watch the sequels. The sequels are awful. Like, they're bad. The third one is like in the 1600s or something. It makes no sense to the time. Listen, the timeline, I don't know what they're doing. It's almost like an Evil Dead situation, where Evil Dead 1 is fantastic. Evil Dead 2 is just as good, only it's like a remake slash parody, with a little bit of humor. And then the third one is just like, what are you doing? You just went full on. I don't know. I don't know. Just don't watch them. Just watch the first one, and you'll absolutely love it. I promise you, you will love this film. Just keep in mind, it was released May 11th, 2001. It was actually made in 2000, but it had its initial releases in 2001 in South Korea. Like, this Canadian film had its initial box office release in South Korea a year after it was made. Anyhow, just check this movie out. It's wild. It's so good. And I believe, as everybody knows, that brings us into a word from our sponsor. We don't have any sponsors. Now to you, Nathan, about your what you think is the
Yeah,
best
so
werewolf film of all time.
just on a side note here, we were talking about the budget for Ginger Snaps. I happened to look it up while you were talking about that. And the budget for Silver Bullet was only $7 million. Now, I say
Okay,
only, I
okay.
mean, we're talking 1985. Yeah, I
You
don't,
gotta adjust for
I'm not gonna
inflation and everything
pretend
like
that I
that
even
too.
know like how much money that would be, but you know, and by today's standard, but my guess is in the, maybe not quite in the hundred millions, but certainly in the the 50 millions, I would assume. So yeah. Yeah, $7 million.
Made on $7 million,
now,
you said?
I mean, we say only $7 million. $7 million is a lot of money. It's more money than we'll ever see. But yeah, it's that's a very low budget for and turns out that Gary Busey was $6 million of that. So that's not actually true. I made that part up for anybody who cares. So let's talk about the best werewolf movie of all time. I'm going with this movie simply for the fact that I've mentioned before, I'm kind of an old soul, and I'm a sucker for the classics. And I believe that if it wasn't for the classic movies, that we probably wouldn't have the modern movies that we have. So I'm going with the 1941 film simply titled The Wolfman. Now, for anybody who doesn't know this, this movie stars Lon Chaney, who played the Wolfman in a couple other movies, including Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, or Versus the Wolfman. I can't remember exactly what it's called now, but yeah, so Lon Chaney, just superb actor. And, you know, maybe the most famous Wolfman of all time. This movie was directed by George Wagner. I don't know the budget for this film, but I have a feeling that it was probably, you know, not in the millions. Maybe it was. I don't know, 1941. But the reason I think film is simply one, the acting in it. This movie does also have Bela Lugosi in it, who, if you're a horror movie fan and you don't know who Bela Lugosi is, shame on you. He's him, and we actually had a conversation the other day, Hayden and I, that you know, about who was better for the who did more for the horror film genre. Bela Lugosi or Vincent Price. And it, did you say Bela Lugosi, Hayden? I can't remember.
I did. I said Vincent Price, like, you got to give it to him, but Bela Lugosi, he so without a big side tangent here, cuz I know we were really trying to keep this under an hour today. So again, without a big side tangent, two things. Bela Lugosi was actually in a Dracula movie where he wasn't actually in it, but he still got paid for it. If you watch the film, he covers his face up every single time. It's literally a random actor that they said was Bela Lugosi that they paid him for. Like, that's just a quick little fun trivia there for you. Like, he did so much, and he was so popular, and he was so important to the genre that they actually got somebody to be him that wasn't him, and he still got paid for it. Also, adjusted for inflation, Silver Bullet was made on a budget of about $17,231,775.09. Wow. So, yep.
Yeah, very
pretty, like, low by today's standards.
Actually, way lower than I see. That's why I said I wouldn't even pretend to know that. I said it would be like in the 50 millions. I wasn't even close. But
Think of it this way too, like your average independent horror film is about $20 to $50 million budget. So
that makes the movie even better, knowing that it was such a low budget film. And it still turned out great. That's fantastic. Anyway, back to 1941. But
yes.
So, the thing that makes this movie a little different than other werewolf movies, I kind of alluded to it earlier, is the werewolf in this movie, he's more it's kind of why it's called the Wolf Man. And very humanistic. Not like, although still a monster, he's not really a monster in the sense that most people nowadays would think about werewolves. But he's very very humanistic, and he kind of knows what's going on, but he has a lust to kill that he obviously can't control. Kind of a crazy thing. He's not really, of course, 1941, they wouldn't have shown that kind of stuff anyway, but he's not really out there ripping people apart. He's actually, in one scene, he chokes a woman, which actually a lot of people think that's the scariest scene in the movie. I actually disagree. I think the scariest moment in the movie is when he actually gets bit by the wolf, which that's something different too, is he actually just get he fights off a wolf, just a what he thinks is just a regular wolf, that happens to get bit. But I think that's probably the scariest scene in the movie, just because it takes place, it's kind of in a wooded area, and it's very shadowy, and like we've talked about before, it's kind of some of the things that you don't see, that kind of make it scary. Yeah, you
Less is
see that
more,
he's fighting
exactly.
with something, but it's something bad, but you don't know how bad. And that's, like I say, to me, that's probably the scariest scene in the movie. Although, the scene when he kills is pretty scary. There's actually a couple different transformation scenes in the movie. The first time you see him transform, it just shows his feet. And again, 1941, we're talking pretty well done. The way they show him transform, when he starts to kind of feel the change, he takes off his socks and he pulls his pant legs up, and you just kind of see his legs are getting hairier, and all you see is is these feet transform into, it's basically, giant dog paws, and they he kind of you just see him get up and he tiptoes out of the house. You don't actually see him until the next scene, when it's he's shown in the woods as the Wolf Man. But there is a scene later on where it does show a full transformation, and it's very slow. Obviously, technology wise, they really couldn't do a. It's almost like claymation, where you had to. You had to spend a lot of time. You'd shoot one part of it and then stop, and then do some of the makeup and shoot another part of it and stop, add more makeup. So it very painstaking process, I'm sure. But I think that the reason I'm going to say it's probably the greatest werewolf movie is just it's simply. Like I've said with all the movies before it, where I've gone old school, like we mentioned with Psycho in episode one, Psycho ran so Halloween could walk, the Wolfman ran so that Silver Bullet could walk, which that's just what.
I
However,
think you got it
whatever.
reversed.
They walked so they could run. However we said
They
it, however,
walked so the others could run.
whatever.
We're regressing. We're regressing.
One runs, one walks. I don't know. Maybe it was
One
a slight
crawls,
jog,
one jogs.
power walk. Anyway.
With a soft J, so it's jogging.
But yeah, so these movies, without the Wolfman, there would be no Silver Bullet, there would be no Ginger Snaps. These movies have just taken that idea and progressed, and rightfully so. Werewolf movies are a lot of fun.
They are fun.
Yeah. If you want to go ahead and talk about your favorite or what you think is the best, I think I'm done. I think I'm done.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah, he hit that regression.
Yeah.
And he was like,
quit,
you know what?
I quit
I'm good.
The show
I'm
now.
Done. So, yeah. So after this, don't expect any more episodes.
Until next
ever.
Week.
We're so done with it. We forgot to even share it on Facebook.
Yeah,
like we did an episode last week. So
That's
anyhow. So anyhow, trying to keep this under an hour, I'm going to go with a rather short explanation because my movie is a movie that you have to have seen. And if you haven't seen, I will give you a quick rundown of it. But also, what are you doing? I can't help you if you haven't seen this movie. So what I think, in my personal opinion, is the very best werewolf film of all time. Hands down, American Werewolf in London. Absolutely hands down, 100%. This is the greatest werewolf movie I think I've ever seen in my entire existence. So again, if you haven't seen this movie, I can't help you. You're a lost cause. What are you doing with your life? This was actually written and directed by John Landis. I have my own opinions about him and how he got the main actor and two children that were not supposed to be acting at the time killed on the Twilight Zone film that he did. That's a story for a different day if you guys would love to hear it. There's a big thing on Shudder about it. It's horror movies with, you know, dark things around it. And that's one of them. It's actually the final one that you see. And they do show the footage of the main actor as well as two small children getting decapitated and just completely killed by a helicopter accident gone wrong. That was all John Landis' fault. So, again, we're going to set that aside. We'll talk about that a different day. But other than that, this is a great film. but it follows David and Jack, who are two American college students that are backpacking through Britain, I believe. Yeah, London to Britain. When a huge like wolf attacks them. David survives, but Jack is destroyed. I mean, he's, you know, somebody, he needs milk. Like, you better help this boy, but he's dead. Pretty badly, too. It's pretty gruesome. And as David's healing in the hospital, he's plagued by some violent nightmares of his mutilated friend. And he is throughout the entire film. And this movie is actually kind of funny. There's a nice, like, comedic tone to this movie. And I really do appreciate that. The fact that, like, this movie is really gory. It's really dark. Especially for the time when it was released, which was August 21st, 1981. So at the time of its release, like, it was a pretty gory movie. You know, it was pretty graphic for that particular time period. And to have some comedy in there, it was nice to lighten it up a little bit, especially when, and this is a nice transition to this, it has possibly one of the, actually, it has the most iconic werewolf transformation scene in all of cinematic history. It is known because, it is so well known because it's so brutal, it's not gruesome as in bloody, it's just
very, very realistic,
hard to watch, especially as a child. When, yes, very, very, very realistic. And the sounds that the Foley department got for that transformation is unreal. They needed a definite like pay boost and pay raise. It was so good. And almost you almost want to cringe because you're just like, I don't know, because you could just imagine it and how bad it would hurt. And his werewolf looks genuinely scary too. It's probably one of the most iconic werewolves out there as well, other than the Wolfman. But Again, I'm keeping it nice, short, and sweet. This is a movie that has to be seen. The transformation scene outdoes any and all transformation scenes ever. And this movie stacks up against other werewolf movies in the fact that this movie is the one that is still trying to set up a future film to sprint. If the Wolfman walked so this movie could run, this movie is running so that another movie could sprint, and we have not gotten that yet. So, we have a fun little thing in here. Just a quick, like, would you rather, and just a quick why. Would you want to be a werewolf, or would you rather be a vampire? I would rather be a vampire. You want to know why? They can live forever, and I get to look like me, and I've got to transform into something
I've
nasty and
often
stanky
wondered,
once a month.
for those of you who can't see Hayden, he's very fair skinned, and it's very, very weird, but when he goes in the sunlight, he sparkles. So I'm not 100% sure he's not already a vampire.
Yeah. People call me Edward, and I'm like,
Now,
what the heck? Why you call me Edward?
I don't know. I think that in some ways, vampires they tend to get a lot of the girls. They're very
See? Exactly.
they're very mysterious beings. But I don't know. There's some. I think I would say probably vampire too, and I'll tell you the reason I think, aside from all the action, werewolves tend to be more plagued by the curse than vampires do.
Exactly.
Right.
Because vampires are just chilling, man. They're just like, hey, I'm a vampire. I'm living forever. No big deal.
Right,
And
right.
werewolves are like,
They're
I want to kill
very,
myself because I'm a werewolf and
they're
I hate
just,
this.
yeah, they're just very much cursed by their curse. Weird. Yeah,
They're
but they are.
plagued by
They're,
their curse. We're mixing a Slipknot song and a Killswitch Engage
you know,
song. I like it.
in almost every, in almost every werewolf movie, they don't enjoy being a werewolf, and they kind of want to stop. I guess that's one thing that makes Silver Bullet. Well, no, he does kind of. There is a scene where he the person who's the werewolf has a nightmare about the entire town becoming werewolves, and it wakes him from his sleep. That's kind of a creepy scene too. But you just have to see it. You got to watch the
Have
movie.
you
See, I've seen both of your movies tonight, which has been rare, actually. So,
it's been very rare.
yeah,
The
so
first episode
for once,
and
I'm
now
not
this one.
slacking, since week one. So long ago.
It's been
Yeah.
5 weeks. It's been total of five. We're on our fifth episode. Well, fourth traditional mainlining movies
Right.
episode, fifth total episode. We got an episode
Well,
series where we're counting down the top one,
2 out of 4
scariest
is not
movie
good. It's
moments of
only
all time. So,
50%. It's not good odds, if you shoot free throws at only 50%, you're probably sitting on the bench. So, yeah, so
or
like
yeah, or
I'm,
you're sitting down at fucking freaking double A. I was trying to think of the name of it. I couldn't. So double A. I was gonna call it double A. The G League. Yeah, there you go. That's what it's
we're
called.
claiming to be movie experts here, and I to not have seen these movies, I'm slipping. And then I go and misquote
You're
what you
slacking.
said, whatever, it's 12:30 in the morning. I have been. I
Yeah,
did get to
you've
take a
been up
nap
for a
today.
while.
And I drank a
I
cup
have
of
not.
coffee at the
So.
beginning of our episode. So yeah, used a
Nice.
little bit of
Run out of coffee.
Almond Joy creamer. If you've never used it, it's really good. Anyway, nobody cares about that. Why am I talking about it? Somebody will care. I know somebody will care. But yeah, so I'm good. I got my nap in. My wife was kind enough to let me lay down and sleep for a while. So it was kind of nice. That way I could stay up
Yeah.
and entertain the masses with my brilliant movie picking abilities.
Expertise. Yeah.
Yeah.
The movie picking abilities.
That's
Movie
right.
talk, the
That's
mainlining
right.
ability. Yeah, that's right.
This has been a lot of fun. I really and what's better is that we get to record and it's there forever, you know? We want to go back and like, hey, what did we say on April 14th of 2021? We can go back and realize that I misquoted you from anyway.
We were wrong.
What are we talking about now? We always go on these things where nobody knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, I have no idea. But I will leave everybody with this. You ever notice how in any werewolf movie ever, where there's multiple werewolves, the one that actually likes or enjoys being a werewolf is always the bad one?
That's a very
Think
good
about it.
observation. I want to make one more observation while we're on the subject of would you rather. I've never seen you and a vampire in the same place. So I think that just may be more proof that you're actually a vampire.
That
I'm telling you,
I
I've watched you sparkle in the sun, which
I believe it. I'm really pale. I'm on Sam Witwer levels of pale. Like it's bad.
I got this sweet beard to protect me from the sun, so I'm good. I'm good.
See,
You don't know
I don't
what you're
have that
missing.
luxury.
Ladies love the beard. Telling you. Anyway, here we go again. Here we go again.
I think we should just sign off. We're right here. We're at the under an hour
we
mark,
did
so
it.
people can't complain. We're like
I don't
right
know
here.
how
We're
we
at
did
58 minutes.
it. But yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting to finish on time. We don't have a time limit really, but we try to set a goal so you guys don't have to listen to us talk about, glittering in the sun all night long. But anyway, this has been fun.
Exactly.
This has been fun. I've enjoyed it.
Well, absolutely. This is good. This is good. This is clean. This is healthy. We enjoy it. Well, everybody, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. We did it in under an hour. We can't complain. You can't complain unless you really want us to hit a 45-minute mark. Then we really got to shut up. And we appreciate it because I'm not going to go to an hour. Thanks, everybody. And we'll see you next time. And just keep mainlining movies. Have a good one.
Later, guys.
That was terrible. Bye, guys.